Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard. Not the billiards. It was...
Billiards room.
Come on already. Come on. We call it the...
The place to be.
The place to be. Yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said.
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is now time for the Place to Be podcast. And now your hosts, Justin Rosero and Scott Criscolo.
Very nice, Mr. Crisbola. They should arrest you or whoever trusts you. Ain't gonna stress you, but I'ma let you know, girl, you be killing them. You be killing them, girl, you be killing them. You be killing them, girl, you be killing them. You be killing them, girl, you be killing them.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. It is middle of the week. That means it is time for the headlines. And of course, I can't do the headlines without my PIC. That's Scott Criscolo. Scott, how you doing?
Mr. Rosero, always a pleasure, sir, to talk to you. Welcome, everyone, to number 105.
Light 105
of the Place to Be podcast. And most of the songs you dedicate to my favorite wrestlers probably belong on Light 105.
LL Cool J. Yes,
LL Cool J. KC and JoJo. It is, of course, as we mentioned, headlines, cornucopia, fun and games, weekly get together. We've got a surprise open and a surprise close. So we won't get into what those are, but we'll do our normal stuff. We'll recap Raw. I don't know. Really, not a lot to say.
No.
There was a couple of things I want to talk about, but for the most part, the show was kind of dull. We will check. And we are going to check the rating to see if my theory is correct that because of Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the SmackDown rating went down. We got a couple of quick network things, nothing too fancy. And then, of course, our news and notes brought to you by our friends at WrestleChat.net. We, of course, will have our PTB Nation Asshole of the Week and an update on our big tournament going on. We'll talk more about that later.
Mm-hmm.
And then our special segment to end the show. So why don't we hop right on from the beginning, my friend? Why don't you get us started?
All right, well, we're going to mix things up tonight, change up the format just a little bit, because obviously we're still dealing with the fallout here from Super Bowl 46, mainly, of course, in New England. All the Patriots fans are crying, and the Giants fans in the area are celebrating, and there's no bigger Giants fan that I know than my man! The one and only Andrew Flanagan. Welcome, sir.
That's a beautiful intro. Thank you.
Anytime. You notice how I didn't say your name first, so we didn't get the patented Scott Criscolo step on over the music?
It's not the same, Andy. It's not special if I don't trample all over your intro.
No, you're right.
You're just another guy now. So,
all right.
What a game.
Yeah. Have you? Has your blood pressure come down yet?
For the most part, yeah.
Right.
I'm mostly stable.
You were in rough shape last time.
It was pretty bad, yeah.
So let me ask you, Andy. Obviously, this was, I don't want to say it was just another Super Bowl, but
just another Super Bowl.
Just a Super Bowl. But I mean, there was no, I mean.
Just because you lived through all 46 of them doesn't mean that there's another one to
but all. I'm ignoring you like I ignore LaRue. Anyway, this one didn't have that much history kind of thing, the destiny thing like the last one did. This was just two good teams playing for a world championship. Did it feel different watching it and facing the Patriots than 4 years ago?
Completely different situation. I mean, it's the same two teams, but, you know, last time there was the whole 18-0 thing going on, and, you know, it felt like, you know, no one was giving them any chance to win. It felt like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, they definitely weren't. I mean, even guys like Bill Simmons have said since that their biggest concern was how much were they going to win by to fortify their legacy. So for them to have lost that game, I do think there was history here, though. Maybe not history as far as history books go, but... there was a lot of history. I think it often gets overlooked because the Jets and Patriots are the main rivalry, but you almost forget there's New York-Boston when the Giants and Patriots play, so it's still a lot of heat there between the two areas, and then when you factor in the last time they played the Super Bowl. So I think maybe there was more intrigue this time around. I think last time there wasn't much intrigue because everyone just assumed the Patriots were going to curb stomp them and go undefeated. So this time I definitely think there was more intrigue.
Yeah. I didn't have an answer for that.
Scott
Rakers.
So obviously, the Giants, that first half was just very weird to watch. Like, the Giants seemed to have a lot of momentum. They jumped out to the 9-0 lead. Pats, you know, couldn't get out of their own way. Obviously, the safety on the intentional grounding.
Now, Scott, you're pretty impartial here. Did you think that call was a bad call?
It's kind of hard to, you know, a lot of guys throw the ball downfield and receivers may break routes. And it's, you know, intentional grounding is when you are not, here's the weird thing. Intentional grounding is when you are not in the act of being tackled, you're in the pocket, and you purposely throw the ball away to avoid being sacked.
Or if you're in if you're in the grasp of the defensive player.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you had that backwards.
If you're in the grasp of the defensive player. But it's one thing to throw the ball out of bounds when you know no one's going to catch it. When you're throwing the ball downfield, you know, maybe
come on. I mean, most guys do throw it, will throw it at the feet of a receiver or at least near a receiver. He chucked it like 40 yards downfield. There was no one even close.
Maybe he didn't think he was going to get called for it by doing a different thing than most people.
Obviously didn't think he was, and that's the argument I've heard. And the main one I've been fighting with is our friend Josh Richer, who thought that because that never gets called and quarterbacks get away with it, that it shouldn't have been called here. And my argument is that just because you fuck a call up before doesn't mean you should continue to fuck it up.
No. I mean, clearly there was nobody within 40 yards of that ball, so. In the rule book, yeah, it's definitely grounding. It was just a little odd to see it because the circumstances are not normal. In the end zone, throwing the ball within the hash marks as compared to throwing it out of bounds. It looked different, but the fact remains is there was nobody around. So he tried to, you know, I don't say pull a fast one. Maybe he thought somebody was open, but the fact remains is he was in the pocket and got rid of it. So
he broke a crime and he got caught. That's all that matters.
But I mean,
I think it's more symptomatic of a bigger issue is that Tom Brady has not really had a good playoff game in a long time. And I don't count the Denver mess because that wasn't a real playoff team in mine and many eyes. To me, they're probably one of the three worst playoff teams of all time. So
right.
Anyone can do that. On that.
He did have a good two-quarter stretch there right around halftime, though.
Yeah, but was that – I mean, all right, I don't want to take all credit away from him. He did. He did what he had to do. But to me, it looked like a little bit of a product of the Giants' defense.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed to be giving him a lot of the middle of the field and trying not to let anything get deep behind them. So they kind of let him dink and dunk. But he still had that impressive stretch where he didn't miss a pass for a while. But, you know, it's one thing to do that in the middle of the game. But when the game's on the line, he hasn't really delivered in a big spot in a long time.
I think the other situation is that obviously not having Gronkowski was a big deal because, you know, he didn't really throw the ball to Welker that much. So the Giants were pretty good to kind of cover that soft zone and have the linebackers kind of stay in the middle and challenge Brady to go deep, which is not that's not the modus operandi of the Pats offense this year. This isn't 2007 where Moss ran fly pattern after another. They don't do that anymore. So he kind of challenged the Giant defense. I don't know what you think about this, Andy. Kind of challenged Brady to throw deep. Because his main guy that's always up the middle was not there. And, you know, Aaron Hernandez made some nice catches, but, you know,
he also had a rookie. Killer drop.
Yeah, he did a big-time killer drop. What did you think of that? You think the Giant defense was smart to do that, Andy? Kind of let him give up the dinks and dunks to kind of not give up the big play?
I hadn't really thought about it from that perspective. I thought it was more a product of the Pats' game plan where, you know, the idea seemed to be to run the ball and get rid of the ball before the pass rushing at home and really, like, play to the weaknesses of the Giants defense.
I agree, but the problem with that is you need to have a good defense to keep the other team down. That's kind of almost like the Jets game plan a lot of games. You know, they eat some clock, run the ball, dink and dunk, and then you have a defense that holds teams out of the end zone. And the Patriots actually did that for the most part this time around. But when they needed that kill strike at the end, they couldn't deliver. But they got put in a big hole early because of the mistake, the safety, and then the 12 men on the field after the fumble definitely killed them right out of the gate.
Mm.
And it was weird because it seemed like it was a very strange game in the sense that no one really grabbed a foothold. The Giants had the lead in the first half, but they were dominating between the 20s, but really couldn't push the issue home. And then getting that first down, getting called for that 10-yard holding penalty, and then the Pats scored, and then they scored immediately, and then all of a sudden they had all the momentum. But even after that, he was starting to complete passes, but that was it. They wouldn't score again for the rest of the game. And the Giants kind of picked away, and credit has to go. credit's got to go to the Pats defense because they played a lot better than I think anybody thought they would. They hit hard, and a lot of Giant fans that I watched the game with even said that. They're like, wow, these guys are bringing the goods on everybody. So I won't say – I mean, the Pats defense definitely played as well as they possibly could.
Well, but I think a big part of it is that they knew the Giants haven't had much of a running game, so they didn't really have to commit much to the run, and they were able to throw everyone back there and try and jam guys. And eventually their defense just wore down. You know, if the Patriots even had a middle-of-the-pack defense, they'd probably win this Super Bowl. Mm. But we also have to forget, they were a very big product of their schedule and a lot of breaks that they got along the way.
Right.
To me – the Giants, I talked about this last week. I thought the Giants had more talent. I thought they were a better team, and I thought they had a harder road. They had some shittier losses during the season, some brain fart losses, but they still played a tougher schedule. Like, to me, to go into Green Bay and beat Green Bay, to go into San Francisco and beat San Francisco, is a lot different than smacking Denver around at home. And then, I mean, honestly, the best team they played, like, in the last 10 weeks was Baltimore. And you know, I'm not one for should've, could've, but they should have lost that game. I mean, not a lie. I mean, if Lee Evans catches the freaking ball, they win that game. So, I don't know how proven they were. And I still think Brady's a great quarterback, but how much of the big numbers did he put up this year? Yeah, everyone says, oh, he plays outdoors. He didn't have the dome, but he also didn't play a lot of great defenses this year, a lot of great teams overall. And their defense didn't face a lot of great offenses. So,
right.
But, you know, the defense still gave up 21 points, which should be enough for that team to win the Super Bowl.
Right. Now, Andy, let's compare the two moments. I'm sure you remember 4 years ago very vividly. They score that touchdown on the Plaques touchdown. Now, what do the Pats have? Like 50 seconds left, probably.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. Sunday, what was it?
I think it was also 50 seconds.
50 seconds. Maybe a little more. It was like 55 seconds. Did you feel the same? Were you more confident Sunday? Less confident Sunday?
How did
you feel after Amon scored?
Less confident. I don't know why. I can't explain why. I think part of it was that Belichick let them score. And I felt like, you know, it could have been a mistake to play into his hands like that. And I don't know, there's something about yesterday, like, and not yesterday, the Super Bowl. I don't know how to explain it. I did not have a good feeling all day.
Hmm. Interesting.
I think it's that they play the type of game that people frequently play against the Patriots, where you settle for field goals and stall in the middle of the field. And it just felt like the game where, you know, you'd outplay the other team but still lose. And I think that's what I was afraid of more than anything.
I think just a big problem with their offense, again, is the running game. So teams are able to kind of stack against the receivers. But eventually, they're just good enough skill players that they can make a break and break through. But that's why I think they struggle a little bit in the red zone like that. There's no commitment to the run.
Well, I think it's more that the line's not as capable as they used to be.
Right, yeah. I mean, obviously, the run game itself is just not as good as it was. Now, do you think, you know, we didn't really talk about it at the time because I think we were just in shock of what the hell was going on, but do you think Bradshaw should have scored, or do you think he should have went down and they could have ran the clock down and kicked the field goal?
I get the argument that, you know, technically you win the game if you kneel it there, but that assumes a lot of things go right, that you don't fumble the ball, you don't screw up the kick, you know, you play the clock correctly. And I think when you're losing, you really kind of have to take the points.
Yeah.
Like,
it's one thing to say, if we kick this field goal, that we win. But if you miss it, you lose, you know?
Yep.
So I think it's the right thing.
And the other thing is the touchdown at least put them up more than a field goal.
Right. That's the thing. They didn't have a lot of time, and they would have had to go through the whole length of the field rather than only go like 50 yards.
And the Patriots, those aren't those Patriots anymore. They can score a lot of points, but they don't go on three plays down the field like they used to. If Gronkowski was completely healthy, they could. But with the offense as it was on Sunday, there was no way they were going to go down. They have no deep threat. So what are you going to do? I mean, the Giants could just sit back at a prevent, put a little bit of pressure on Brady with the front four, and that was it. Obviously they sacked him. But what are you going to do, dump it off to Green Ellis or Welker or Woodhead and hope they break off a 50-yard run? I mean, that's all they really have.
Yeah. Now, two things, Andy, in that fourth quarter. Number one, now that you can say it, now that you won the game, was that pass interference on Manningham on that play? By Moore on that drive?
Oh, I think it's 50-50. I can't really complain about that. You know what I mean? Like, at the time, I was probably apoplectic and I wanted to kill somebody, but, you know, it's a 50-50. It's a judgment call. You know, did it look like it at full speed? I don't know.
Yeah, it was close. It was a close call. Close. I mean, the catch by Manningham was ridiculous.
First, it was unbelievable, yeah.
Especially after Collinsworth had ripped him earlier in the game. For
taking the wrong
For going too close to the sideline. So,
you're supposed to let your quarterback lead. You're supposed to let the quarterback lead you to the sideline. Mm-hmm. You don't lead him to the sideline. You leave him with like 6 inches. So,
but that, I mean, Manningham's got to parlay that catch into a huge deal now that he's a free agent. So I'm guessing the Giants are going to let him walk, I would think.
Yeah.
I think they have to, probably.
I thought he should have been the MVP. Not that Eli didn't play a bad game, but I mean, Manningham.
I think they should have.
The problem was that Knicks had all the stats, but Manningham had the big moment.
Yep.
You know, if it had been one player with both, I think he wins MVP.
I think they could have maybe done the co.
Yeah, they could have.
But, yeah, I mean, Manningham made the, I mean, he made the catch that pretty much saved the game for them, so.
Absolutely, yeah.
So where do you guys put the, because this is a huge topic around here, where do you put the blame on the Brady-Welker deal?
Personally, you guys want to go first or?
No, go ahead.
No, I think it's, you know, it goes both ways, but I'd say it's at least like three quarters Brady's fault.
I agree.
He definitely threw it over the wrong shoulder. It would have been an incredible play if Welker had made it, but.
Right. And the argument I've heard is that, oh, well, Welker makes that catch. Yeah, but see, he shouldn't have to make that catch. Just because he can do it. He still would have been twisting, leaping, and falling down. And, I mean, obviously, it was the play of the game as far as negative plays go.
Yeah.
but Brady, I mean, I can't blame him for the earlier one that Hernandez dropped. That was ridiculous. And even Branch dropped one. Mm. But, yeah, that Welker one, that was on Brady. And he hasn't come out yet and said anything. He hasn't come out and apologized or anything. Then he let his wife throw them under the bus, and now she's like the biggest villain in the world right now up here in New England. And,
it's amazing, I know.
And Brandon Jacobs is running his mouth, telling her to shut up and all this other stuff. So they, there's a lot going on with that. But yeah, there's a lot of Giselle hate, and now the whole thing is going on. They haven't won since he left Bridget for Giselle. That's the whole thing going down now. And
the funny part about that play is and I was a couple of Pats fans that I work with have said the same thing, that Welker is not an over-the-shoulder guy. He's a guy that runs routes up the middle, catches balls in his gut, catches balls low. He's not used to having to turn around and throw. But clearly, when you're angling a receiver to the sideline, you throw to the sideline shoulder, not the, because you're supposed to avoid the pick. So you throw to the side of the shoulder that the defender's not on, and Brady threw it the other way, and Welker was ready to catch it. And just
you have all this knowledge, but you still come out on Thanksgiving and throw 7 picks a game. I don't know. You know all these ways to perfectly throw balls without getting picked.
Can we talk about the game? Is this what is this, a fucking stand-up act? Jesus, dude. You know. So anyway, Andy, the so does this game? Obviously, Eli wins his second MVP, and obviously he's officially in that class with the elite. Two rings, two MVPs. He's in that class with Brady and Rodgers and Breeze and all that. Could he right now punch his ticket to Canton?
No.
No, yeah, I was thinking about this earlier too because I figured it'd come up, but no, you know, if he retires today, he's not going to the Hall of Fame. He needs to, you know, keep up the level of play he had this season. If he does that for a couple more years, then we can talk. But
yeah, I don't think he needs to win another ring or anything. I think he just needs to put up another few years of good stats and a couple more playoff appearances. I mean, another Super Bowl appearance probably wouldn't hurt.
Yeah,
but I don't think he needs to win one.
Right. And the other question is, does this game punch Coughlin's ticket to the Hall of Fame?
There, I think you have a pretty good case. You know, he had some success in turning around Jaguars quicker than people thought was possible. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, that often gets forgotten, the success he had there.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's hard for me because, you know, this is the last 5 years this guy's been about to get fired. So, you know, how popular or beloved could he really be? But I think this makes him, you know, kind of a hero in New York, and that's going to count for a lot.
I think he gets in. I think any coach with more than one Super Bowl and other successful seasons on top of it will get in.
Right.
Although now, I thought Andy, Parcells would get in. He,
well, I was about to say, yeah. So you, Andy, agree with everyone that Parcells got stiffed this year?
Oh, absolutely. I don't understand it at all. I feel like Chris Carter got stiffed too, but that's more just my memory of him. But Parcells, I don't understand it.
The NFL Hall of Fame to me always seems so like they let everyone in, so I don't really get it.
No. I don't understand. Like a couple of those guys I understood, but like Dermoni Dawson?
Oh, really? Well, he
Willie Rofe?
He was awesome too.
Yeah, I think they belong in. They shouldn't be punished because Parcells didn't get it. I mean, just because they don't put up stats because they're linemen. I mean, offensive linemen. I still think they deserve to get in. I don't think they should be punished just to allow Parcells in. I just don't get what's keeping Parcells out. But, I mean, I was thrilled that Curtis got in.
Here's the question.
I was very happy about that too.
Here's a question then. If everybody thinks Parcells got stiff this year, should they just have expanded the class then? Or
yeah, exactly. Or, I don't see
is that really the problem? There's a limited number? I don't really know how the NFL works.
I don't think they have a limit. I mean, maybe it's one of those stupid things where, like, internally, they're like, well, we can't have too many guys. I don't know. But I don't think there's, a set in stone where they can't have that many guys.
Right. I mean, it felt like a good class to me. I think all those guys deserve it. I just don't understand why these other people got left out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Parcells is going to get it eventually. I don't see how he doesn't. He's won two Super Bowls, been to a third, turned the Jets around. He was, what, playoff team with – brought four different teams to the playoffs. I mean, he's – you know,
he's like known for being a great media guy.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. I don't get it.
And plus, his coaching tree is ridiculous too. All the guys that have spawned off of that. So I don't.
Another guy that got shafted this year was Jerome Bettis. Another guy with ridiculous stats and he's got a ring and you know he's got what almost 13,000 yards.
I can kind of see him though. I don't know. Like he's a guy to me. I'm not a huge.
He's
fan
more of a borderline case than Parcells.
Right? Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of the eyeball test, but he's a guy to me that I gotta really look into before I say, oh yeah, yeah, you know. But I think the interesting case around here is going to be now is whether the Patriots media and fans and everything else, all this brouhaha, ends up running Wes Welker out of town.
Is he a free agent?
Yeah, he's a free agent.
I didn't know that.
So obviously,
I'd leave.
As a Jets fan, obviously, I hope he goes. I really do.
And I think any team would be lucky to have a guy like that could be open, that's open almost every offensive play and can catch 125 balls. That's pretty easy. And there's other people who are saying that Belichick should retire and, they should trade Brady for draft picks. And just this. That's ridiculous.
I could see, I mean, they need Welker because I don't know what they got without him, but. I wouldn't be shocked if he goes. I mean, the wide receiver free agent class is pretty interesting. You get him, Colston, and Manningham are the three big names. So I think Colston stays in New Orleans. I don't see why that guy would ever leave.
Well, he'd be stupid to, but he's going to go for the money is the problem.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there are teams that need a receiver. The Jets need a receiver. The Patriots need a receiver. The Niners.
Someone's going to overpay him, you know?
So,
yeah.
Before we wrap up the Super Bowl Super Bowl self. Let's just quickly turn over to Peyton Manning. Andy, where do you think he ends up going?
What do I think? I think probably Washington because are they the only team that has the cap room without making a bunch of deals to sign him?
Well, Seattle actually has a lot of cap room too, and I think Miami does. Thing with Manning is he said, I mean, I don't know how legitimate it is, but he said that he would take a pay cut to go somewhere he'd have no guaranteed money. He would just base it on bonuses or whatnot. So there is a chance that if he finds a team he really wants to play for, a team I brought up with our friend Mike yesterday I thought would be interesting. I haven't really heard much about him is Denver.
Oh really?
Well, think about it. They have a great defense.
Yeah.
A solid running game, a good coach, and an owner that hates his quarterback and would love a guy like Manning. And there's one way to get rid of Tebow, and that is to bring Peyton Manning in. You know what I mean?
I like this theory. It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a feeling he's going to end up in Miami. I think that's where he's going to end up.
I think I saw something about Tennessee. Is that?
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, because of, you know, he's like a god down there. And apparently, I heard today.
And that's probably the best team, right? Well, no, their defense was pretty bad.
I heard today that they've been like fans have been putting up billboards begging him to come back, like Tennessee fans. So, no, I think the best team. I mean, San Fran is out apparently, according to Adam Schefter. They're right. All in with Alex Smith. So, power to them. But I think the two best. I mean, if he wants to win, I think the best options are Miami or the Jets. I think New England has flaws right now, and I think that division can be up for grabs with either of those teams with Manning as part of them. I think they both have very good defenses. They both have. Very good receiver, and Reggie Wayne's a free agent too, and rumor is that he's going where Manning goes. So if he goes to the Jets or Dolphins and you pair him with Holmes or Marshall, that's a really good receiver core, and I think both teams have a pretty good running back situation too. So I think either of those teams are really primed if they pick him up.
Yeah, I think your analysis is right. I have a feeling he's not going to stay. He's not going to go to the AFC East for some reason.
So do they keep – if the Jets do get Manning is – you're not going to have Sanchez sit on the bench. Do you trade him for picks or get?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They have to, they can't cut him.
Right.
Well, how can you trade him though? You'd have zero value at that point. Not value. You'd have zero leverage. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're going to, I don't think they'd be looking to get much back for him. I think it would just be like a salary dump more than anything.
So you trade him for like a sixth round pick or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, it sucks, but I mean, if you get Peyton Manning, you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
The one team you always hear bandied about for Sanchez is Seattle because of the Pete Carroll tie and the fact that he would fit in with their offense and that they need a quarterback.
Yeah, didn't they say the same thing about who was the guy before Sanchez? And Leiter didn't want to go there because he didn't want to play for Carroll again or something. Do you remember this?
Well, I know Leiter didn't want to play for him again. There was another guy, too?
No, that's who I was trying to think of.
Oh, Leiter. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you were referencing John David Booty.
No.
So it's pretty much a foregone conclusion then that Luck will go number one to the Colts. And
oh yeah.
You know, what does that do for the rest of the team? I mean, are they going to take their lumps then? Are they going to the defense needs a lot of help. They had a lot of tackle. They had a lot of. I think they had a guy. One of their guys was top three in the league in tackles this year, but I think he was a safety or a corner. So it's
usually not a good sign.
Not a good sign. So I guess the Colts better. You know, Colt fans better be ready. The only time you'll have a Super Bowl. Hope they enjoy watching it in their own building because probably not going to see one close by for their own team for a while. But
well, Tennessee may work too because of the FU factor. You know, in division, stick it to Indy and go there and win with his own old team. So or you know, old state, but. Well, it'll be interesting. We'll see. We got some time to talk about and think about. If I had to pick a team right now, I'd probably pick Washington, only because they seem like they'd want to make a splash like that. And I just don't know if they have the pieces for it.
I don't know either. It wouldn't be a good team.
And does he want to play his brother twice a year and deal with all that hoopla too?
Yeah.
Yeah, his brother pretty much has just passed him as the better quarterback in the family. So that'll be fairly interesting. But, I mean, the Redskins' defense needs a lot of help. And, you know, other than Moss, they're you know, the skill positions are not that deep. So I like Miami. I like Miami. I think Andy, the whole AFC East thing, I'm kind of digging that theory. But something tells me that the Dolphin management wants to make a big splash and bring him in. So if I had to pick a team, I'd pick Miami. Maybe Tennessee, because Jake Locker, I think, could handle sitting the bench and studying him.
Well, the thing, though, if Manning's healthy, though, you're going to get like 5 years. Three years out of him. So is Locker really going to sit for another?
Or maybe you trade that pick for a couple other help out in other places.
Yeah, I think you would have to.
Well, you know, a lot of these young quarterbacks can also take the Aaron Rodgers route. I mean, he sat, and everybody bitched and thought, why isn't this guy playing? And finally Favre leaves, and the guy's a Super Bowl quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's the worst thing. What's his Locker, second year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so another three. I mean, he'd be sitting for 5 years, and he was older, wasn't he?
Didn't yeah, he I think out? He was.
So,
yeah. All right, so let's go around. Justin, if there was one team, where does he go?
I guess Miami, even though I don't want to see it happen. Although – the thing with Miami is I can see them going for Flynn because, you know, they brought Philbin in and he knows Flynn well. And I wouldn't be shocked if they go that route either. Mm. So I'd say Miami or Washington, I guess. I mean, I think the Jets really want him. Are they going to go for him? I just don't know if he's going to want to go to New York with his brother.
Oh, God, I didn't even think of that.
And also, if he's, you know, they've said, too, he might want to play in the warm weather because of his neck. But now I'm hearing the neck's not a problem, and it's that his throwing is going to come back. So I don't know. Another team that Schefter mentioned was Arizona. Obviously, they got a stud wide receiver. If they picked up a running back, and the defense was okay, right? It was solid, but I think their O line is kind of a mess.
And didn't they just sign Cobb to all this money? And so I don't know. I mean,
is there somebody out of that? I can't remember. Or are they just stuck with Cobb?
I think they're. It's the NFL. There's always
a way out. Yeah.
So well, we'll see. It's gonna be pretty interesting. To see how that plays out, if it affects the draft. I mean, obviously, it'll affect draft positioning for some teams in the middle of that first round. One of them, if they get Manning, then maybe Miami picks differently, Washington picks differently. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, if, mind you, one hit and the guy's done. So, I mean, that's another risk you've got to take, too.
It's true of everybody, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're saying. They're saying he's at no more risk than any other player or quarterback at this point. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. So, sorry, Andy, wrap up your thoughts on the Super Bowl.
I'm happy. I don't know what much more to say about it. You know, it was a tough game. I was convinced they were going to lose at least five different times there. And, you know, probably the best thing about it for me is just not really having to listen to all the Eli bashing as much as – at least not at such high volume anymore.
Exactly. And it continues the poking of the Patriots fun.
Yes, also true.
So.
All right. Well, there you have it. This is the Super Bowl Mania. Now, Scott, I heard we had a couple other people that wanted to come on and talk about the game. Yeah. Were you aware of this?
Yeah, I did. I was going to say something to you, but we got caught up with the Manning thing. But they're right here. So. Good evening, everybody. How are you today? Mike and the Mad Dog here in the place to be. We're talking about CM. No, we're not talking about CM Punk. Oh, he's not. Oh, not yet. Okay, never mind. Super Bowl, Mikey. Super Bowl. Are you happy? You excited? You're at the parade. You get swag, Mikey. You must be happy, Mikey.
Dog, I was watching in my basement, watching the Super Bowl, the Giants and the Pats. Brady wasn't Brady. Brady's got to be Brady to win that game. Brady wasn't Brady. Belichick wasn't Belichick. Eli was Eli. Cruz was Cruz. Knicks was Knicks. Manningham, the kid with the catch. Welka wasn't Welka. That's it.
Well, you know, man, you know, Mikey, you know, Wes Welker, you know, going out in the flight, should have caught that ball. I mean, I don't know, you know, Brady's not been saying anything. I don't know. He should have caught that ball. I mean, I don't know. Mikey, guess what? We have a caller. Andy calling from Rhode Island. Andy, welcome to Talking to the Mad Dog. How you doing? Is he there?
We're going to move on, dog.
Oh, we're going to move. All right, never mind. Anyway, the Giants. Big win, Mikey. Big win. Eli Manning. Eli, you know, threw the ball. I tell you something, Mikey. The Patriots defense, the Pats defense. You know, I give him a little credit, Mikey. A little credit. Played pretty well. You know, hit hard. Didn't give up. You know, they didn't get blown out. They didn't give up a lot of points. Kept the game close. You think Brady was hurt, Mikey? There's a lot of talk about Brady being hurt. You know,
dog, guys hurt. Are hurt every week. I like Brady. I like him a lot. I like Tom Brady. Brady wasn't Brady though in that game. He's a mortal, but he wasn't Brady. Brady wasn't Brady. Eli was Eli. I like Brady, but he wasn't Brady.
Now, what do you think about Eli, Mikey? Is he because you know Peyton, you know, you know, he's got a ring, but now you know Eli's got two rings. Is he an elite, Mikey? Is he an elite? You know, I'm tired of this stuff. Second tier. Is he an elite, Mikey? Is he an elite now?
I got to look at the stats. Eli. Yeah, I got to put him in, dog.
I think so too, Mikey. What about Giselle? Giselle, Mikey. You know, what is she? What is she, like an assistant coach now or something? What's going on, Mikey? I mean, I got what is going on here?
Keep her away from the field.
Keep her away. So what about your boy Parcells, Mikey? Your boy Parcells, not in the Hall of Fame. Didn't get in the Hall of Fame. What's going on, Mikey? Didn't get in the Hall of Fame.
I don't know how the head coach didn't get in the Hall of Fame. Deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Parcells is Parcells. Deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
It's amazing. Unbelievable. He's not in the Hall of Fame. Giants, world champions. And not my Giants, of course. Not my Giants, but your
Giants. Dog, your Giants. It'll be another 50 years before we see your Giants to win.
Come on. 2 years. We got to do a baseball preview. We're going to talk about the lineup, and we're going to talk about the Sandoval. I mean, we're going to talk a lot about baseball. But anyway, Mikey, that's a good job out of you. Giants, Super Bowl champions. This is Mike and the Mad Dog.
Dog, your buddy Rome here. You left me off the show, buddy.
Well, Rome, I'm sorry.
Giselle,
sorry.
What's she doing? Dude, shut your mouth. Stand by your man. Ripping Wes Welker. The dude's been nails all year. The dude is locked in. He catches that ball 11 out of 10 times. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Drops that catch, dude. Wake up. What are you doing, man? Dog, Rome, jungle, out. Classic.
All right, Mikey. I don't know who that. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, Giants win. And do we stay doing something? I don't know. But finish the Diet Coke, Mikey. Mike and the Mad Dog. Sports Radio 66
WFAN. They're talking sports going at. Well.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Andy from Rhode Island did not stay in the line.
I think Andy from Rhode Island, he was getting bumped for the Mad Dog when he came
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
So.
God, that's so funny. All right. Well, That's I'm happy for our man Andy. I'm happy for our fan, our man Dr. G, and all the great Giant fans. Nice win. And we'll have some Parcells talk later on in the program, one of our later segments. A lot of Parcells talk, so we shall see. But let's get back to the business at hand. And that is it for the NFL. Before we move on to Monday Night Raw, I said this to you last week. I wanted to mention this to you briefly. All right, the NFL season is officially over.
Mm-hmm.
Give me one thing that pleasantly surprised you this season, and one thing that disappointed you.
I actually thought about this. Mm-hmm. I didn't just ignore what you asked me to do like I usually do. I actually put some thought, and something kind of clicked with me as I was going back and forth. I think it was with Josh. I think the story to this season was that teams didn't take advantage of the chances they had. And I think it came right down to the Super Bowl. Both of those teams had chances to win that, and they didn't seem like they didn't want it. You know, like the Patriots really had control. They gave it away. And to me, that was the story of the season. The Ravens gave it away. The Packers gave it away. Houston, you know, Indy crumbles. Houston dominates that division, has the best team. I think that might have been one of the best overall teams in the league up there with Green Bay and New Orleans this year was Houston. Their defense was tremendous. And if Schaub stays healthy, I think they win the Super Bowl. I'm not going to lie to you. And they couldn't take advantage. And it just seemed like it was a season, maybe it had to do with the lockout. You know, it was a season of offense. I think that's another thing we're always going to remember. Three guys breaking 5,000 yards. So, to me, that'd be the main takeaway. It seemed like the season where nobody wanted to take advantage of the opportunity that they had.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously, our two teams had some expectations and didn't deliver on them. They finished with identical 8-8 records. We'll see. We'll see what happens in 2012. There is rumors, by the way. I don't know if you know about this, that they might get rid of the Pro Bowl.
I think they should. I agree with it. I think that's a good idea. I mean, I don't see what purpose it serves at this point.
No, it's not that it doesn't have that same something that the two NHL NBA All-Star games, and obviously Major League Baseball's All-Star game. The whole thing about giving the winning league home field in the World Series is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
But the game itself is fine. And by the way, the fact that you half listen to me when I ask you to do something makes me realize you are the Bobby Heenan of this primetime, and I am indeed Gorilla. So when I ask you to do something, you're probably on the phone with Miss Betty. So,
yes.
All right. So
the Pro Bowl thing, just one last. I think they should maybe switch it off for a skills competition. I think we saw the success of that kind of thing with baseball and hockey and even basketball as well. And football doesn't really have one. So instead of having a game, why not just have a skills competition? Just come up with a bunch of different things, and you still do an event that weekend, but you just don't do an actual game.
Right. No, why not? I
mean, do all the shit that they do in the Madden training camp in the game. You do the field goal kicking, the coffin corner punting, passing through the hoops, like all kinds of things. You know, they can find shit to do.
Through the tires and everything.
Yeah, running drills do a fastest time, who can catch the most passes, who can intercept passes. You know, just do stuff like that, different skills competitions.
Right.
Instead of doing a game where obviously no one cares to hit or be hit, so.
Right, exactly.
Because the dangerous thing with that is you get one guy that wants to hit someone, then you're in trouble. You know, one guy goes rogue, you're out. some serious money. So
that's it for the NFL season. We hope you enjoyed going over it with us since the first week of September, and then now we put the ball away and we will not take the field until early August. It's nice. It'll be nice this summer to actually talk about the upcoming season rather than guys sitting in courtrooms. That's gonna be a lot of fun as well. All right, let's get into
to let everyone know where we're headed. We're pretty much going to be non-sports on these headlines for a while now. We're going to stick to mainly wrestling. We got some other little treats sprinkled in, but we'll pick up sports again in time for March Madness, of course, and then baseball. We sprinkle out like last year we did throughout the season, and hockey and NBA as we get towards the playoffs as well.
Right.
So, but as far as weekly, week in and week out, unless some major story breaks, we're probably not going to do too much sports talk.
Now we'll kind of let the regular seasons in the NHL and the NBA kind of, again, as Justin said, kind of run its course.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into it, you know, more as we head into the end of April, beginning of May. And then obviously we'll have our March Madness preview, because obviously that's a sport that encapsulates everybody for many reasons. But we'll definitely do that. But yeah, we'll have a baseball preview probably, which will probably be piggybacked with headlines. We did that last year.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
Maybe
this time we'll actually keep track of our predictions.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we had it written down. We had it written down. We didn't do too bad. So we were about 50-50 last year. It seems like this year the picks will be. Seems like there's a lot of clear cut I feel like there's a line drawn in the sand with really good teams and really lousy teams. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It didn't seem like there's as many middle of the roads. But anyway, we'll get to that when we get there. All right. Let us hop into Monday Night Raw and go over some of the results. And again, it seemed like –
Yes,
again,
your cunt is in the sink.
Yeah, well,
it's official kickoff to Raw.
Yes, exactly. And you might have been in the sink.
His cunt is very safe.
So – I don't remember where the show was. It was somewhere in the Midwest. Nobody pays
attention. It was Oklahoma City.
Was it Oklahoma City? Okay. And then the next night they were in, I think they were in Tulsa for SmackDown. So, overall, the two things that stuck out at me, I don't want to really, I mean, I don't want to totally.
Yeah, it was, you know, and we've talked about this before. It seems like they can't string more than like two very good shows together in a row. So we were kind of due for a clunker, and boy, did we ever get one.
Yeah, we did. Let's just go in general terms. The two highlights of the show for me was the opening promo where Triple H comes out to respond to The Undertaker after what happened last week and said that I want to remember The Undertaker for what he was. It's kind of like this. He's kind of going along the same vein of the feud he had with Ric Flair in 2005. I want to remember Ric Flair for what he was, which is one of the greatest of all time, rather than some decrepit, washed-up bum. That's not exactly what he was calling Undertaker, but it was similar to that.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't want to see him as the guy who was crawling around on his hands and knees begging for mercy at the end of the match last year. He wants the guy who dominated 18 straight games.
Now, do you like the angle that's taken with this, where Taker's begging him even though Triple H lost the match? I mean, does that make total sense? I guess in a way it does, because he left him laid out and put him on the shelf. So in theory, he's looking for revenge and wants the match. Mm. I think it clearly positions Triple H as a heel, even though they're probably going to stick with the face-face dynamic, though.
Yeah, well, obviously he's getting boos anyway, and I think this coming Monday night will be a huge indicator, JR, of where they will go with that, whether or not he will be a heel or a face. I do like the change in dynamic here. When was the last time Taker? I think we talked about this last week. When was the last time Taker actually was begging for a match?
Right.
Diesel, I guess.
I mean, it's been a while, and I'm fine with it. Honestly, I think it'll be fine. I think they can carry it and make it work. And I think we're going to see obviously Shawn Michaels get involved because he is scheduled to be on next week. And I think this year we heard the rumor a lot last year, but I think they really need to mix things up this year. And that's why I'm almost fine with the reversal and build and having Taker chase Triple H, because you got to mix things up from last year. You have to.
Yeah. No, you absolutely have to. And we don't know. We already had a stipulation last year. They did the street fight, so who knows? I mean, obviously, they're going to have to stip it again, and I don't know what they're going to do. It should be interesting, but I don't know, casket match? I don't know. Nah, that would. I don't know.
They'll just do no DQ again or whatever. I mean, the stip doesn't need to change. They can still have a brawl and do whatever. I just meant the overall dynamic where Taker forces Triple H to give him the match, and then you have Shawn as the ref. To me, those two changes are enough of a dynamic change.
Yeah, yeah. If Shawn ends up being the referee, then that definitely changes the dynamic, because we talked about it last year, the whole I'm not letting you break the streak because I couldn't, why should I let you? And remember, we went that whole thing. So it does add a new dynamic that last year's match didn't have. That is true. So I enjoyed that promo. And then they had that whole, they have three video packages. And somebody on our, by the way, great job by PTB Nation, continuing to go the 24/7/3. It's like the hardcore title of chat threads. It goes nonstop. But a great job by everybody who was hopping on and talking.
It actually just came across Russell chat. I'd read it elsewhere earlier in the day. But apparently the reason they did all those video packages and went light on the wrestling is because they have a pretty hectic schedule. The Raw roster is going to Abu Dhabi, and then they have Elimination Chamber coming up, and then the Raw after that. So apparently they wanted to go light on them this week because they have a pretty hectic schedule coming up, which, you know, I understand the logic. I think that's good of them to do. But when you're also charging the money they charge to go to Raw, like that does stiff the live crowd. Yep. They still get to see everyone, but when you're sitting there for that many promos, it can be draining. So I can see that part of it. I think those are the only people that really have the right to bitch. People watching, I think to me that's a valid enough excuse if you're saying, look, we really wanted to give these guys a break. They deserved one. So,
well, I mean, you've talked about it when you've been at live shows. We've both been at plenty of live shows in our lives. Video packages are just tough. The worst, that may be the funniest on TV, but the worst in the arena was when my brother and I went to the Raw up at Mohegan Sun. It was about 2 weeks before SummerSlam 05, which was the infamous Shawn dressed as Hogan on the Larry King parody. Mm. which on TV watched was pretty funny. But when you're watching it at home, or when you're watching it at the arena, it was really dragging, and you weren't getting that same. It just kills the crowd. And by the time, on top of the fact neither Hogan nor Shawn was there, that kind of killed the crowd too. So
I don't think it tops mine when I had to sit through the Steve Austin Rock face to face before WrestleMania 17.
Oh, like
26
yeah.
minutes,
oh,
and
yeah.
They did that during the show to get the live reactions or whatever. But that was a lot.
Yeah. So, but overall, the opening promo was fine. I enjoyed it, and you know, we'll keep that going. And the other part of the show that I liked was the obviously Chris Jericho finally spoke and did the whole everybody's mimicking
exactly
me.
Exactly what we expected.
Yep. He ripped everybody. He even ripped The Miz, which kind of came out of left field.
Well, it kind of makes sense afterwards when you realize how much in the doghouse he's in. And we'll get to that shortly.
Yeah, I got an issue. I thought we were going to see him on the WWE.com the next day. I wish we did, but we'll get to that in a minute. And then CM Punk came out. By the way, pretty awesome T-shirt.
Yep.
He has definitely replaced Stone Cold as the master of the awesome T-shirt. Probably because his T-shirts are not black anymore. You know,
right.
You and I always said that black, you know, a black wrestling shirt, so dull, so bland. And he doesn't
There's
have a lot.
There's only
of
three black ones that have really ever done anything. That was Austin 316, NWO, and DX, and those were all very simple and to the point.
Right.
That's why they weren't
exactly
black and then gaudy all over them.
Right, exactly. And I love Punk's because everything on the T-shirt's concise. It's mm-hmm. not big. And like, I loved the Evolution T-shirt, but then the back had all that crap on it, and I hate that. I like the gray Punk shirt is awesome. I never thought they could top the white T-shirt, but they did. So he came out and he got in Jericho's face and Tuca played this game. He waved the belt in front of him and walked away, and Jericho got pissed off. So those are the only two parts of the show that I really liked. The rest of the show was...
I like the Daniel Bryan stuff. We had an argument going in the chat. A lot of people think he looks weak, and some were saying he doesn't. But to me, this is where he's going to be. And then I guess I'm basing it more on my expectation of what they're going to do with him. I don't see them ever really making him like a legit number one top guy. So, you know, a year ago, he was doing jack shit. And now he's one of the world champions, and he's getting a shitload of TV time and a lot of character development. So to me, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I had no problem with it either. It was actually a pretty hot debate on the thread, which was fun. That's the point of us having that chat thread, to get into really good debate. Mm-hmm. But I think people are taking it, I don't want to say too seriously, but I think people are thinking that WWE is actually going to do more with this.
Right, I think it's just people that want to see more done with him and are disappointed that they're not. I just know anything on top of this that they do with him, to me, is going to be just icing on the cake. I mean, this is way more. If you saw him a year ago and thought he would ever be doing this, then you were just being way optimistic. I mean, the way they were booking him and using him, no one ever thought he would be doing what he's doing now.
No, not at all. You know, we had that whole issue with, with the choking thing, and everyone thought that was kind of a, you know, you'd never see him again. Everybody took that too seriously.
I mean, the only time he was used well was that SummerSlam return when they made a big deal out of it. Outside of that, after that, he was nothing for a year. You know, he did all the stuff on, he had come up with the stuff on NXT, and then he came on, and he won the U.S. title, but he was never on TV. He got bumped from WrestleMania last year. So until he won Money in the Bank, he really didn't think. And even when he won Money in the Bank, there was still a lot of doubters out there just assuming that he was going to be the first guy to lose the Money in the Bank in that series, and he won. So, I think he's exceeded expectations by quite a bit. So to me, the only other newsworthy thing that came out of Raw was the spot where R-Truth splatted to the mat because Miz didn't catch him.
Mm-hmm.
And Miz caught a lot of shit. And here's a little story from WrestleChat. During the six-pack challenge on Monday's Raw, R-Truth attempted a slingshot somersault into the Miz, but his fall was not absorbed due to the former WWE champion being out of position. R-Truth fell back first onto the floor, causing his head to whip back. At that point, the referee decided R-Truth would no longer be able to compete, and personnel assisted him to the locker room. WWE.com confirmed that R-Truth avoided serious injury after suffering the fall, which to me is amazing. I thought he had a concussion for sure. PWI Insider reports that the basic outline of the match remained the same, but adjustments were made from what was initially planned. Miz is being blamed for the spot. There's a ton of heat on him from company officials, including Triple H backstage after the show. The executive vice president of talent loudly disciplined the Miz in front of wrestlers as soon as he returned to the back. So, and then there was another story. I don't have it in the rundown, but it came out earlier tonight that Miz was kind of on the shit list anyway, because they feel like he's regressed both on the mic and in the ring since his run last year as champion. And I'm a big Miz supporter and a fan. I always have been. I think he busts his ass and works hard. But to me, he's a guy that seems like he's a little burnt out. I think he needs a break. He's been going hard for a couple years now. When he was champion, he was doing a ton of media all over the place, never slowed down. And, you know, maybe he's getting a little sloppy. And I think that can happen when you go balls to the wall like that and don't slow down. In any job, I think you just get burnt out. So I think after WrestleMania, a break for him would be good, maybe to take the summer off or something, come back in time for SummerSlam or something like that. I think he could use some time off.
I think use some time off, or maybe a change of scenery, and maybe it's time for him to kind of move over to SmackDown.
I agree that he should go to SmackDown, but I think he needs a vacation. I think he needs a personal mental. His character needs freshening up and all that stuff, and that can happen with a move to SmackDown. But I think personally, he needs like a mental health vacation. He just seems like a guy that's just running on fumes to me.
Yeah, and it's not. And it's the other issue is, and this is what I wanted to get into before. The whole being sloppy in the ring, it happens. You know. You're gonna get dressed down for it. You know, particularly when you're coming up on WrestleMania, you need to keep guys healthy. But this whole thing about, and I'm really mad about this, and I know you are as well. This whole blaming him for the Survivor Series buy rate tanking is bullshit. It was a stupid feud.
Oh, it was a stupid garbage match. Oh yeah.
That's a bunch of crap. You're gonna blame him. You don't blame you know. It was just dumb. You hit the nail on the head when we were talking about the build of that. That the whole, all of a sudden, Cena and Rock are just going to be nice and right. I mean, it just makes no sense. I mean, like,
Rock it wasn't even that. Seth, they never gave Miz or Truth any heat on them. Like, the one time on Raw, well, first of all, they had Cena beat the shit out of both of them 1 week. And then Rock and Cena both beat them down on that go-home show, the one that I was at in Boston. And it was like,
right. No
one ever believed that Miz and Truth could possibly win that match. So it's like, why right. Bother ordering it? Yeah, it'd be cool to see The Rock wrestle, but, you know, I'm going to save my money for Mania when I know him and Cena, that's a match. You know what I mean?
Right.
To me, they missed the boat by not just doing a 5-on-5 match and putting Rock on one of the teams, or not have him wrestle at all. You know, I know they wanted to pop the rating, but if they couldn't do any better than that, then I don't know. They could have found something.
Yeah. No, I agree with you that I think The Miz, because he's really, since he won Money in the Bank in July last year and all the way through winning the title and all that, he really has not stopped. It's like one of those Brett type runs in the mid-90s.
That's exactly what I was thinking when I said you can just kind of tell when a guy's burnt out. And Brett was like that in that period from late 95 to early 96, where you could tell he was going through the motions a little bit. And that's when guys don't improve on their promos and their ring work, when they're just going through the motions because they're just burnt. It's like Miz, you know, he's just out there doing the same shit every week because he's probably just needs a break. So I'm really hoping after Mania, maybe they do an injury angle with him or something and just take him out for a while, then have him go back on SmackDown when he comes back.
No, I agree. I think he definitely needs to. I think he definitely needs to get a spell, because he obviously, you know, and he's also lost in the shuffle. He's not the focal point of any of these feuds like he was a year ago, and so now's a good time maybe to, you know, we were talking about the alleged or not alleged, but that Randy Orton injury a few weeks ago, which could have kept him out if that was what the real injury was, and he's another one. Now, obviously, he's back and he'll be in some match at WrestleMania. We don't know what, but like you said, if this is a WrestleMania for someone to take a breather. This might be it. Now, obviously, you don't want to be left off the biggest card.
They can't leave him off the card, I don't think. I mean, I know what you're saying, because they're already stacked enough, they don't need him. But
right.
I think you've got to have him on Mania and then maybe give him a break. But I don't think they'll have Orton take a break.
Oh, no, I don't think they will either. I'm just saying, you know, this is a Mania where, if, you know, it's okay to be kind of hid in the shadows because the top of the card's getting so loaded. So, all right. Obviously, one of the things that was talked about a lot that on the show, and that Triple H was alluding to at the beginning of the show, was the job status of Mr. Sinkmeister there, Marty Funkhauser himself, John Laurinaitis. So it was revealed the next day on WWE.com that indeed the board of directors have decided to retain him as interim general manager. No real shock there. But let me ask you this: Do you like them using the website as kind of like a storyline advancement?
Yeah, because it makes it like stuff's happening throughout the week. Sometimes it's kind of goofy that no shit happens at all from Monday to Monday. So I like it, and I think it's good. Anytime you bring eyeballs or viewers or anything to your different product at different times other than when you're on the air is a good thing. So if it drives hits to WWE.com and makes it like that's a website you need to be at for breaking news, I think it's smart. Yeah.
Exactly. So I hope they keep doing that. And I have a feeling they're going to do that a lot over the next weeks as we get through the build to WrestleMania. But, you know, also, my friend, another reason why Raw didn't have that same sizzle. Who was left off it?
The Funk Man.
The Funkasaurus. I didn't realize that till I was doing some other stuff last night, and I'm like, wait a minute, I just realized Funkasaurus was not on. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be on. They're supposed to do some angle with him and Drew McIntyre, but that kind of shit the bed a little bit and didn't happen. So, I believe he was in the I didn't read the full SmackDown spoiler yet, so I'm not sure if he
I read it, and I don't think he on. Did. I don't think he was.
Yeah, I don't think he was on either. I don't like that. I don't like the sound of that at all. And the rating this week, with no sports to counter it, so now there's no excuses if the rating sucks for the next for the next 5 months.
Right. Especially with Rock and now Michael's coming back, a different guy. So
yeah.
This is really the time they should be peaking.
Yeah, exactly. Hour one did 334. Hour two did 317, which bounces out to a 3.3. Raw lost 362,000 viewers. I don't know what's on at 10 o'clock on other network. I know like shows are starting up like Alcatraz on Fox. Like that, yeah. Yeah, well, Alcatraz is on at 9. I'm trying to think what other shows are on at 10 o'clock on Monday nights. I don't know either. Hawaii 5-0 on CBS, they do good ratings. I think that's at 9 o'clock, though. So I don't know. But the second hour still dives. Do you think what do you think the general consensus is of why people would turn off hour two?
I mean, I don't know. Part of it could be that it's late. Maybe it's kids watching that go to bed and families go to bed.
Yeah, we are in school, you know.
And part of it, too, is just people don't like what they're watching. Maybe some people turned in just to see The Undertaker. And after that, they tuned out. Maybe they didn't like the mid-show match. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of reasons, so. But that's still a better rating than they had done, 3-3.
Yeah.
For a while, they were sub-3 or right at 3. So obviously not as good as last week's 3-6, but they didn't lose too much of the audience anyway, so.
No, I have a feeling that the rating this week will be pretty good.
I don't know. You think Michaels is ratings popper?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think people miss Sean. Sean's smart. Stays away, does his hits. And I think Sean always will bring a pop. So, yeah, I think it depends when. Obviously, they'll put him at the end of the show because they're going to want that second hour to kind of stay, raise. So I have a feeling you won't see Sean until like 10:50 or something. So, all right. So there's our thoughts on Raw.
Right. How quickly? Good.
I was going to say you can check any video clips on the WWE.com or go to YouTube if you want to rewatch any of the stuff. So.
All right. Here's a quick SmackDown spoilers from February 10th. Opened with a segment between Sheamus and Wade Barrett, interrupted by Cody Rhodes. Big Show came out and ended with Sheamus and Show clearing the ring, and they made a match of Barrett and Rhodes versus Show and Sheamus for later in the night. Great Khali defeated his brother, cousin, friend, Jinder Mahal, with a choke slam. I can't remember what their relation is.
Brother-in-law, I think.
Is it brother-in-law?
Yeah.
I wonder if Khali... This was a theory I throw. Did I mention this on the show, or did I mention it? I can't remember if I mentioned in the chat or not, that I think Khali is there as insurance in case something happens with Shaq.
You said it last week.
Okay, all right, yeah. We'll get to Shaq in a little bit. Backstage, they had a segment with Teddy Long and Daniel Bryan. Beth Phoenix defeated Alicia Fox. Beth attacked Fox after the match, but Tamina made the save, and Tamina and Beth had a stare down. So I'm guessing they're going to face an Elimination Chamber, and then I'm thinking we're going to get Beth and Karma at Mania.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, she did that awesome inset. You even made a point. You commented in the thread about the little insert promo, the awesome like superstars-ish things, little things like that. They just got to keep doing. I mean, they just got to keep doing stuff like that. It's okay to go back to the old book of wrestling television and TV wrestling and kind of use that stuff again. It's okay.
Right. I mean, and on SmackDown they do.
Yeah,
they do it quite a bit. They have little inset interviews and old school kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
All right, Tyson Kidd was backstage with Natalya, and Tyson farts, and Hornswoggle comes walking in and thinks that it's Natalya. I don't know where they're going with this angle.
What the hell is this?
I'd rather just not talk about it. It just angers me.
It's so stupid. It's so dumb.
For a show that does so much right, I don't get what they're doing.
No, I don't either.
Big Show and Sheamus beat Cody and Barrett when Sheamus hit the brogue kick on Barrett. Michael Cole interviews AJ about an injury from Big Show, but Daniel Bryan comes out. Bryan tries to get her to leave with him, but Teddy interrupts and threatens him to strip him of the belt instead. Ted DiBiase defeated Unico with a roll-up. And Big Show comes out for commentary for the main event, Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton. So a pretty big match there. Bryan tries to leave during the match, but Show throws him back in the ring. Orton RKOs Bryan. It appears he won the match, but was DQ'd when Show interfered. Orton and Show have words. Show drops Orton after a brawl, and referees take Orton to the back. So I'm guessing that's just setting up the chamber.
Right.
But I'm also... Well, no, never mind. Show's going to be a Shaq. Because they made this foreshadowing a little Mania match, but... I have a feeling Orton's going to get shoehorned into Sheamus and Bryan. If either that, or it'll be in Money in the Bank.
I agree. I think Sheamus and well, If you were the,
you think there's a chance Bryan loses at the Chamber?
No, no, I don't. No, I think it'll be. I don't think it. We've seen Orton and Sheamus already, so I don't think Orton, and there's nobody else in the Chamber that's gonna that deserves to win it at the moment. So no, I think Daniel Bryan keeps it. We'll do our picks next week. I don't know who wrote this, but was it the champ? I'm like, this whole Michael Cole, Bryan tries to get her to leave with him. Teddy Long interrupts and threatens to strip him of the belt. It seems so vague. I have to watch that segment on Friday night because I have no idea what the heck he's talking about there. It's all right, champ. It's okay. So anyway, do we have a? I'll have to look it up during our break. I want to see if there's a
rating from last week.
If there's a rating from last week,
yeah, I don't really care. But I'm sure it's out there.
I don't. I'm just doing it to be funny. It doesn't really matter. I'm sure. Right, I'm sure the show is still good.
We have one network update. You want to read that quick?
I shall read it. By the way, there is some movement in the room. They actually are starting to put some monitors and some electric, actual equipment in there now. So,
I wonder if they'll use the room for tape stuff. You know, if they start taping more stuff in the studio there just to can it, maybe they'll be using the room for that sooner than later.
Well, yeah, I think so. And I'm sure they're going to – they're not using Sundance, which is the automation system that we use. They might be using something else. Maybe they're just going to spend the summer testing stuff and that kind of thing. Anyway, one quick note. It said that some of the shows filmed for WWE's revamped YouTube channel have been, quote, so bad that they will never see the light of day. Well, I mean,
that's part of the experiment, I think. You know, they got these kind of amateur style stuff going on. So I'm fine with it. And I actually heard today that they're paying YouTube's paying them $1 million for this for a year's worth of stuff. So this makes this whole thing more understandable now. So,
yeah, I know. Wow, that's a lot of money. Mm. So, yeah, there's not much more on the network right now. Although the silverback there, Matt Rotella, told me that I believe that Piper's been confirmed for the. Maybe he's just a day late and a dollar short, but he told me Piper's been confirmed.
More than a dollar short.
Yeah, that's true. But Piper's confirmed for the Legends House. But we knew about that for a while. I told him that too. So anyway, more any other update stuff on the network, we will get to as soon as we can. But right now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will have our. News and notes segment, as well as PTB Nation's Asshole of the Week. Could creative get it for the third week in a row? We shall see. And then we will take an update on our tournament we're doing on our board and some other stuff as well. But we'll take a break to hear from our good friends at WrestleChat.net because...
Pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Beck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
WrestleChat.net is your home for everything pro wrestling, WWE, TNA. Their pay-per-view is this Sunday, I believe, right? It's always the week before, right?
Yeah, fuck knows.
Yeah, whatever. Who cares? No one's going to watch anyway. They don't even care about their own pay-per-views. UFC, big show coming up, actually. I think Jon Jones is defending his title. A bunch of other stuff as well. Of course, they have their great podcast and their message board. They talk a lot of stuff there, too. And so we'll see what happens as we move forward with the network and other interesting stuff too. Of course, the PTB Gnome is on the screen in the front. Click on it, and you'll go right to our Podbean page. And by the way, we had to work out a couple of
I'll talk about this since I went through the process.
Okay, some backdoor deals.
Well, we finally. You know, all this time I thought Podbean handled the shit, and I thought we just weren't qualifying or something, but I didn't realize it was actually a process I needed to go through to get us into iTunes Store. So I went through that process, and there were some updates I needed to make, and I made those thanks to all your feedback on the Facebook page, because you guys helped me notice some things that we had to fix. So we did get the show updated to explicit, I believe. That was one of the main things, and instead of clean. So we got that changed, and the main thing is you can now just search for us in iTunes, in the store. Just type in P2B in the search, and we are the first thing that comes up. You can also look for Place to Be Wrestling podcast for us as well. So one of those two things will bring you to us. All 100 and after this, five episodes, our full archive is in the store. And if you subscribe, it'll show up as well. So you'll have access to all 105 episodes that we've done so far in their entirety for you to enjoy, go back and relive. And they are right there in the iTunes store for all of you to love and listen to.
Yes, and I actually, for the eight people that have Zunes, you can do it there as well. I just wanted to let you know that. Okay, let's dive in to the cornucopia of news and notes. All right, ready?
Yes.
Number one on our list. Word is that NBA legend Shaquille O'Neal will be appearing on WWE TV after the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view to begin his WrestleMania 28 storyline. At last word, Shaq was still scheduled for a program with The Big Show.
And I thought I read, too, that he has signed on and everything. So, it's good. It adds a little bit of extra sizzle. You're going to have The Rock there. Now you bring in even more mainstream media for Shaq. You know ESPN will be there, TMZ, so... I think that's as far as they should go, as far as loading the card with anyone extra. Save your Austin, save your Brock Lesnar, save that stuff for another year. I think their draws are now there. Rock and Shaq, I think, are more than enough for what they're going to need to bring eyeballs to this show.
Exactly.
And Shaq's been good when he's been on. He's a legit fan. He cares about the product. He was cool when he was on WCW a couple times. He was good when he was the Raw GM a couple years ago when he was the guest GM. So I think he's going to be good. You know he'll work hard to make it work.
Exactly. My screen here just froze, so could you be able to open up?
Okay. WWE has confirmed on Raw tonight that Shawn Michaels will be on next week's Super Show to participate in the WrestleMania 28 hype. It's been speculated that Shawn will be the referee for Triple H and Undertaker. And then we have one other news bit here regarding Shawn. According to PWI Insider, Shawn Michaels is booked for February 20th episode of Raw as well. Ironically, or I would say coincidentally, this is the same exact date of the next advertised Undertaker appearance. It's being said that Michaels will be at this episode of Raw to take part in the next installment of Triple H Undertaker, and the current plan is for Taker to defend his streak against Triple H with Shawn as the special guest referee. And hopefully he does not wear the banana hammock tights.
Oh, God. Oh, the ones from Judgment Day 2000.
The ones from the LaRue collection.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yes,
you saw the problem, so you need me to keep going?
Nope. I'm good now. Thank you. All right.
Just in time for your boy here.
Yes. Another guy who, it's very interesting. As noted earlier today and talked about on WrestleChat.net, Drew McIntyre is set to get a new gimmick soon. And the BOK Center, which is the Bank of Kansas Center in Tulsa, is advertising him as arrogant playboy Drew McIntyre for tomorrow night's SmackDown.
He's like the son of Playboy Buddy Rose.
Yeah, exactly. At the same time, they
the
have
arrogant a playboy. Sounds like a microbrew kind of beer.
Yeah, I know.
I'll have a 16 ounce arrogant playboy, please.
Yes. Listen, this is even better. At the same time, At the same time, they have other nicknames for the WWE superstars like Man of the People Ted DiBiase, Gutsy Daniel Bryan. Malevolent Wade Barrett.
I like that one.
Malevolent. Simply Grand Natalia.
Should be a Stinky Grand, apparently.
Yeah, really. Vindictive Leader Hunico. And Twisted and Tormented Cody Rhodes.
They must have had some fun doing this shit. Well, Man of the People, Ted DiBiase kind of works. That's what they've been going for with this whole DiBiase posse and all this shit. Malevolent Wade Barrett's tremendous. And Leader, Vindictive Leader Hunico. That's exactly what I think of when I think of Hunico. He's a vindictive leader.
Yeah, very, very interesting. All right, so let us go next on the list here. This is another disconcerting story, but obviously I've voiced my opinions on this situation. According to PW Insider, which is Wade Scherer and those guys, word is going around that the official announcement regarding WrestleMania 29 will take place in the next couple weeks. Talk is that indeed MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, home of your boys and the world champion Giants, is the front runner with access and other events being held in Manhattan. I obviously am not crazy about this because that means that WrestleMania 30 will not be at Madison Square
Garden. I keep going back and forth. I mean, it has to be in the Garden, right? But I can just see why they don't want to. Like, they're on such a roll with the arena stuff, but... you've got nine other shows you can put in the arenas. I mean, in the stadiums. You're going to have 30 in MSG, but it looks like they're going to Like I said, I think they're going to regret it down the line. It's going to be one of those things they're going to look back at when they get into 40 and be like, fuck, why don't we have 30 at the Garden? And they can't go back and change it. But nothing's stopping them from doing it both in that area. I mean, they'll draw. You know, they did 10 and 11 close by. Like, I don't think it's the worst possible thing in the world if they do MetLife now, because they want to – I think they want to nab MetLife while they're – like they said, they want to be the first major thing to be in that stadium other than the football game like that. Like, the first was his reasoning. Remember, Vince had some crazy reason that he wanted to get it now. Was that all it was?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so I mean, if they want to get MetLife now, and then you still can do MSG in New York. I mean, they're technically Jersey in New York, so I don't think it's the worst idea. I think it's still possible, and then you just go to Dallas for 31. So we'll see. I'm not completely ruling out MSG just because they're having this in MetLife.
No, I hope not. I agree with you. Has come forward. Usually he joins us on the Friday night Vintage Waltz, but our good friend, the Argentinian philanthropist himself, El Guiante, is here. Welcome. It's good to see you. Why are you staring at me? What's going on? It's good to see you. You just came by Friday. It's nice to see you tonight. Pleasant surprise. What's going on? Just high-five the plant. Okay. Interesting. All right. Where are you going? Okay.
I don't know. That was really weird.
What was that about? Did he say anything to you when he pushed you out the door?
No, he just came in, walked around, smiling, gawking.
He high-fived the ficus.
Well, he was staring you down. I know that. He wasn't happy with you, apparently.
What was that all about? We had a fine conversation Friday. You know, I got to talk to – I don't know. We were fine Friday when we were taping our SummerSlam 95 cast. We were fine. We had a nice conversation. We were civil to each other, trying to smooth the waters, get back to nice us kind of little detente, and then he comes in and glares at me, high fives the plant, leaves. I don't know. Well, maybe we'll find out more this weekend when we do our next vault. So anyway, WrestleMania 29 will be, and we're going, by the way, correct?
In MetLife?
Yeah.
Give it a shot.
I mean, the newest member of PTB Nation will be, what, a little over a year old?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, might be able to make it happen.
I mean, I think, I think it's
hopefully
for us,
with your new contacts with WWE Network, you'll be able to get free tickets.
Yeah. Well, the good thing, I mean, at least a good thing for you and I is we don't have to worry about lodging. I mean, we just, tickets and the access. We don't have to worry about flying or hotels or any of that kind of junk. So it won't be that expensive for us. But anyway, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Finally.
Will you stop?
Sorry, Gorilla. I'll get out of your chair. I know I sit in your chair on the set here at prime time, but. Which, by the way, is playing in the event center right now. A little Ron Bass, Lanny Poffo action.
Very nice.
Former Ring of Honor star Chris Hero was at WWE Developmental today, and word going around is that he's finally signed with the company after waiting for months for medical tests to clear.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, there are no plans to put Hero and former Kings of Wrestling partner Antonio Cesaro together and bring them to the main roster. The two are always going to be signed.
Why would you do that? Why would you? That would make no sense, right?
No, exactly. The two are always going to be signed as separate talents. That's dumb. Yeah, it's dumb.
I did read later on that the reason his medical test took too long was because he had elevated testosterone levels, but it looks like they're naturally elevated for him, because that's why they kept doing months and months of tests to make sure he wasn't on anything, and that he was just, those were just his natural levels to baseline. So that was the deal, and he is now in.
Yes. And so, and that's good. Another guy, another athletic guy, slowly gets through the workings and, you know, could enhance the roster, because right now it seems like it kind of needs it. Mm-hmm. All right. The newest name to be added to the 2012 WWE Hall of Fame class will be former WCW World Champion Ron Simmons. The updated class will now be Edge, the Four Horsemen, Mil Máscaras, Mike Tyson, Simmons, and still being rumored, the late, great Yokozuna.
Yokozuna.
That's a pretty badass class.
Yeah, I like it. I think Tyson is probably the best celebrity they've had in there.
Yep. And it's Tyson with a horseman and Edge, just it's
Mongo.
Hey, babe. Oh, I'd love to see him in the crowd. Man, imagine if he was there. Imagine if he comes out. Oh, my God.
That'd be tremendous. I hope so. I don't think he'll be there.
No. He was at WrestleMania 11. Come on, Vince. Could forgive him for whatever. Didn't they say that he ended up being
a Tonka Tor, I'll take him out. Where's Kama Mustafa?
He did good in school. Sticking with the Hall of Fame discussion, PW Insider has let the cat out of the bag as far as who will be inducting.
Hey, what is going on here?
Nothing, Principal Belding. Go back in the vault. We'll talk to you Friday. And here they are. Obviously, Steve Austin has been tabbed to induct Mike Tyson.
Did you say they let the cat out of the bag?
Cat out of the bag.
You've got to be kidding me.
Nope, swear to God.
That'd be the worst pun we've ever had on the show. Outside of a couple of ruisms.
Yes. Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
I guess we could call him Big Pun.
Big Pun. Yeah, big lack of punch line. Triple H and Shawn Michaels inducting the Four Horsemen. Christian inducting Edge. Alberto Del Rio inducting his talentless uncle, Mil Máscaras. JBL inducting Ron Simmons, obviously. And The Rock right now would be inducting Yokozuna.
Makes sense. You got him there. I still don't get why they're not putting Rock in. We're just talking about this in the live chat. It makes no sense to me. He should. They're in Miami. He's having his big match with Cena. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't either. Very interesting. But obviously, I think the Stone Cold Tyson thing will be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the DX.
I can't wait for Tyson's acceptance speech.
Oh God, it's gonna be a train wreck. I'm gonna love it. All right, we were talking earlier about why Raw sucked this week in terms of excitement, and that is because we'd missed our man the Funkasaurus. As noted before, Brodus Clay vs. Heath Slater and a post-match angle with Brodus and Drew McIntyre was edited off last Friday's SmackDown. Brodus did not appear on Raw Monday night, but there was a plan in place to redo the angle that was cut from Friday's SmackDown with McIntyre. No word yet on why it didn't happen. We know why it didn't, because they needed to add the 9 video vignettes that added up to about 40 minutes of time to try and fill in there. So, but isn't it amazing we're so locked into that character, how great he is, that even with just a simple 5-minute squash not being on the show, it just felt flat, you know? It's funny. Crowd gets into it now. They definitely love the character. You know, even a 5-minute squash, it's a bummer. Okay. And wrapping it up, interesting little tidbit here. It's almost like a fun fact, if you will. If you will. Sting appeared on – if you will. Appeared on KISS FM 97.9
105.5. KISS 107 FM.
Yeah. This is Derek LaRue on Thursday to promote Impact Wrestling.
This is Derek LaRue on KISS 107. If you ain't kissing, you ain't living.
You know what's sad? I could see him even writing that. Put him on a billboard. Oh, good
God. Yeah. All right. You're old. Let me come up with some old jokes. Yeah. KISS 107. We'll be back after this on Time Traffic.
Sounds like Rome. Rome on drugs.
We got right. Sting with us. Sting, what's going on?
Oh, my God. Anything else you want to talk about? All right, highlights from the interview are as follows.
He was asked it up in the morning zoo.
Which wrestler he'd like to face that he hasn't.
Derek LaRue.
I can't believe you actually got that to rhyme. I'd have to say the top one, Undertaker. I think wrestling fans have wanted to see a Sting versus Undertaker for years.
Yes.
I think between his gimmick and mine, it would be pretty cool. We could do some pretty cool stuff. Well,
but I'm never going to do it because I'm going to stay at TNA and do nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Even though last year we could have had like the match of
They wouldn't have taken him to do it last year. What the hell is he talking about, Sting? Come on.
If he has any regrets over not joining WWE, there's an interesting thing. Yes and no. Who wouldn't want to say that they've done at least one WrestleMania? I'm not going to lie to you. I wish I had done one of those. I've had great conversations with him over the years and have been real close on three or four different occasions. There was always a need met or desire of mine met with WCW or TNA, so I stayed. Obviously, schedule. Mm-hmm. Sting liked the better schedule. The schedule in WCW was great.
I'm putting you on the spot right now.
Yeah.
Pick 1 year at one Mania and one opponent for Sting to have come in and done. If you could have picked any year from his run, so 87 through now, what year and who would his opponent have been?
Trying to think of a Mania that might have fallen flat.
No, don't worry about that. I'm talking the period of Sting, the guy he could have fought in that period, and just, I mean, the quality of the show is irrelevant. I'm just saying you're booking this dream show, and this is the guy you know, you're going to get Sting, and he's saying, I'm coming in for 1 year. Or whatever, one Mania match, and you can pick my opponent and pick the year where Sting was at that level. Where would you pick?
I picked Taker and Sting at WrestleMania 19 in Seattle.
So 03 Sting.
Yeah.
Okay. I am picking. I'm going to say Bret Hart at WrestleMania 10.
Really?
My close one would be Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 11. But I think Sting in like 93, 94. I think by 95, you're starting to slip just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The other option would be, I can't really think of, I was trying to think of a giant that would be great with Sting in like 91, 92 when he was doing all that shit with Vader. Like, I don't want to say Yoko because I don't think Yoko could have been as rough with him.
No.
I'm not sure. I can't. Nah. Nah.
No, not really.
Yeah, I can't really think of a good monster that could have beaten the shit out of him like Vader did.
I mean, think about what that show would have been in 2003 if you get rid of the whole.
Yeah, but I don't
show.
Know what Sting was like at that point. I mean, I guess you're talking. So you're looking more spectacle. I'm trying to think of more of a what a great match he could have had.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. No.
That was my personal opinion. If you prefer to see the spectacle with Undertaker, that's fine. That's our two divergent opinions. So.
Yeah. No, that's good. And actually, I'm curious to hear what PTB Nation has to say about that. Maybe we'll throw that up as a question on our Facebook page. Pick a year, pick a WrestleMania, and pick an opponent for Sting. What would have been ideal? You and I are looking differently. I'm looking again. I am looking at something with a lot of pomp and circumstance. No. Mm-hmm. How about Sting and Savage?
Yes, that's another good one. What, like 89?
Yeah, maybe Sting, maybe Hogan is still out doing movies.
No, I don't
and
think
stuff.
We need to worry about the booking and all that stuff. We're just dream booking. So all right, let's move on.
Okay, but that's a good one. And when's the last time he almost joined WWE? And obviously, it was last year,
right?
Because I think that vignette was for him.
I don't know if it was for him initially, but I think they were hoping they'd get him. I think they knew by that point. Because it was around then that Sting resigned, I thought.
Yeah. Okay. There's your news and notes brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net. Now it is time for the most interactive podcast segment of all time.
What kind of disgusting, despicable?
He's an asshole.
Who the fuck is this asshole?
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes.
Do you know who I am?
At grade A, genuine, authentic asshole.
Hey there, PTB Nation. It is now time for the greatest segment in podcast history. You know what I'm talking about. It is time now for the PTB's Asshole of the Week.
You're an asshole tonight.
Asshole of the Week on KISS 107 FM. Wow.
Oh, good Lord.
Okay, here we go with the song that always gets in my head for a million days in a row after I hear it, the Asshole Tonight song.
Yes. Okay. You should read the first one since that was you that typed that. So
I nominate Jason Greenhouse for not knowing how to use apostrophes. My biggest pet peeve: he can join the Matt Rotella grammar all stars.
He must have. He must have.
Yeah, he did Parcells with an apostrophe between the L and the S.
I did see that, and he changed it.
Terrible.
Speaking of Jason Greenhouse, he's number two. He starts from scratch. The NFL Hall of Fame Board of Selectors for not voting in Bill Parcells. I'm not going to explain Parcells' legacy. It speaks for itself.
Michael McDonald, Michael Cole's dad, for busting a nut in his mother. Arrogant, time-wasting, talentless, dickless show ruiner. No, I don't know. We gotta lay off, apparently.
Yeah, oh.
Poor McDonald's. I think we went a little too far with him.
All right. J. Arsenio D'Amato, NFL Hall of Fame voters for snubbing Parcells and Chris Carter. The board is made up of old writers who never coached or put on pads, and they are holding grudges against Carter and Parcells because they never sucked up to them.
Brian Anderson, NFL voters for snubbing Chris Carter.
Okay. Mike Wilkinson says, I am with Greeny, apostrophe, and BA for the NFL Hall of Fame voter committee. Parcells and Carter's legacy speak for themselves. Both men should be first balloters easy. Some of these guys getting in before them is completely asinine. Tim Brown, too. Brown and Carter are two of the top 10 receivers ever, and they don't get in first ballot. People who only wish they could be athletes are keeping these people out for stupid effing reasons, and it is beyond me. I hope these ass clowns win because they are definitely assholes. Fucking assholes.
Derek LaRue. I also agree with Greenhouse. the fact that the NFL snubbed both Chris Carter and Bill Parcells is a travesty. I don't care who you are. Parcells is one of the greatest coaches in the NFL and should be in.
do you really want me to read this one?
Yeah, go ahead. He's a fucking troll.
He is. Matt Davis says, his asshole of the week goes to you, my PIC, for not adding his own wife, the soon-to-be mother of his child, to the Hotties tournament. For shame, for shame. All right, first off.
Now, you know, he's one of those guys, he does things for a laugh, and he even tells me I'm going heel. Like, hey, you're not a heel if you're going to tell people you're going heel. So if you're going to be a heel, be a heel.
What are you, Chris Canyon?
Yeah, don't be a bitch heel. All right, Jay Hinchy. I got to go with Giants fans after the Super Bowl for harassing Tom Brady's wife. Really? Grow up, Giant fans.
Matt Souza says, too many assholes, so little time, but I got to go with the voting committee for the NFL Hall of Fame. Wow. They snub Bettis, Brown, Carter, and Parcells, who votes for this shit. In a close second place is bandwagon fans. Yeah, you know, I forgot Tim Brown got stiff, too. And Tim Brown's stats are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
He just played for some crappy Raider teams, but he did put up good numbers.
Chris Horkasidis, Miz, for his botch fest.
Okay. Corey Ferreira, whichever ass clown backstage came up with the finish for the tag match on Raw. Why the fuck do you have Kali pin Cody Rhodes? What was the fucking purpose to what make Kali look strong for a match he's not going to do nothing in at the pay-per-view? Fuck this company. These finishes are fucking dumb.
Chris Knights. People in the UK who stay up until the... We are small hours to watch the Super Bowl, only to complain that the game stops too much, and they don't understand the rules. This happens every year. What do they expect?
Francisco Soyero.
We got a few new names this week.
Yeah, I like this.
Exciting.
Yes, WWE Creative for the whole Jericho mess. They should give that jacket to Triple H and put him in a dark match at Mania against Kane. Lame jacket versus lame mask. In the end, Hunter would go over and had to wear the friggin' thing for the rest of his career. He already had to wear one ugly jacket. That was the one he wore when he was terrorizing that weird looking.
I liked how Madonna had his throne at the halftime show. That was exciting.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
All right, Ashley Cruz. Giselle for throwing her husband's teammates under the bus. While what she said may be true was not her place to say it. Also seems like she needs to return Tom Brady's balls from her purse. She's the Yoko Ono of the Patriots.
That's funny. My good friend and big-time TNA fan, Sfazio. Tom Brady's wife is
DeFazio.
Sfazio DeFazio. Tom Brady's wife is my asshole of the week. Her freaking out on her husband and the team for losing, it's just plain stupid. Like, come on, stop crying about your husband and the Patriots. That's just what you call lack of support from a wife.
Well, she was actually supporting Tom Brady. And Steve Gross, the Patriots. I hate them all. They're all assholes. I agree with Steve Gross. but I think the clear asshole of the week this week is obviously the NFL Hall of Fame voters. I don't think there's any two ways around that.
Thank you all for your exceptional...
Yeah, welcome to our new members. That was cool.
Yes. Just to clarify, let's see. Who are our new members again? Let's see.
Horkasidis. Although I think he's... Has he been on before?
I've seen him in other threads. I don't think he's actually done either Asshole of the Week or or feedback. I mean, he might have done feedback on a vault maybe once. And obviously, Francisco Soyero. Welcome. Welcome, new guys, to the Place to Be podcast Facebook page and the family in general.
All right, let's give a quick update now about our hottie tournament. It's chugging along quite well, I think. We've been getting a lot of votes, which has been cool.
Yes. I actually voted while we were doing we were earlier earlier on in the podcast. I wanted to make sure I got my votes in as well. Some of the ones I have to admit I'm enjoying the closeness, but I'm a little upset. Some of the ones I really want to move on aren't going to.
Well, obviously we've already had a lot of debate, and we knew that was going to happen due to the rankings. Look, there was no way to perfectly rank these. This kind of stuff is subjective. So we did the best. We took three opinions, me, Andrew, and Mr. Greenhouse, and we did our best to rank these as we thought. Of course, we were going to miss a couple, and there are a couple that aren't in there that probably should be. But, you know, you're never going to get them all. You can only do your best. So, and of course, Matt Davis has his opinions and has to beat things into the ground over and over as well. So we really appreciate that. But we do appreciate all the votes. There's been a lot of votes. This is one of our most popular endeavors on the board, I must say.
Yes. Well, the picture references don't hurt either.
I'm a little sad. You know, I guess it's my fault because I did the rankings, but I put my girl Velvet Sky up against Elizabeth, and there was no way she was going to beat her. So,
yeah, exactly.
I probably should have moved Velvel elsewhere.
Obviously, keep voting if you haven't, because I'm making a push. Because one girl that I'm kind of bummed she was voted this low. Maybe she's just a personal favorite of mine is Laura Prepon. She was seated fairly low, and she's losing to Lacey. Can I say her last name?
Chabert. There's no way Chabert. She's going to beat her. Lacey Chabert is tremendous.
Yeah, she's gorgeous, but I don't know.
That's pretty close right now. It's 15 to 11.
Yeah, I was just vote number 11. I'm bummed because I love Laura Prepon. I loved her on that 70s show, and she's been hot and everything else.
The other upset I thought was Jennifer Love Hewitt, I think, is still pitching the shutout. Oh, no. Yeah, she is. 28 to nothing.
Yep.
So that's not a surprise there. A lot of people thought she was a little bit too low, but I think when you see the people above her, it's kind of hard to argue. So, but other than that, things are pretty much going along pattern. We have the first four matches of each bracket up, and that will continue every day. Jason Greenhouse posts four on bigelow34.proboards.com. Mm. And then he posts the links as well on the Facebook page. So you can just go right from there, click on it, and vote. All you need to do is create a place to be message board account, which it looks like many of you have done. So we appreciate that. Continue voting, and we'll continue to update you. Also, we have another update. Thanks to our man pushing us here, Michael Schutz Vincent, our boy, hooked us up with some shoot interviews, and his only request for payment was that we review the Wrestling Classic. Now, we've heard this from many, many of our fans throughout the years. Why haven't you done the Wrestling Classic? Why don't you do the Wrestling Classic? Why not? Why don't you do it? And our argument was that we don't focus on play-by-play. We do fun facts and history and talk about the matches and the classic. Doesn't really lean towards that. But we're going to do it. We're going to deliver it for you. Enough of you have asked for it throughout the years. So our plan is we're going to post our WrestleMania 23 review for on the board where we're at. We're then going to watch a Wrestling Classic and post the written review for that. And we are going to do a Wrestling Classic Vintage Vault after we finish 1995. So after Indie House 5, we'll take a quick break. We'll do Wrestling Classic and then jump into 96. So for all those who have always asked us, the Wrestling Classic is finally, finally on its way to the great place to be nation.
Yes,
fans,
and thank you, fans, for your continued support.
Yeah, I mean, it makes us feel good. They really want to hear our opinion on it. So, I mean, you know, we put it off long enough, longer than we should have, honestly, for the amount of people that have asked.
Yeah. And there's some interesting side plots. There really is some interesting side plots to that show. There's an injury that's actually pretty painful to watch. Mm. I don't know if it was part of the match, but and then there's obviously some other stuff. There's a precursor of a future great feud involved in that show, and obviously a title match. So it's a lot.
I'm looking
stuff.
Forward to it. I've actually been on a little bit of kick. I've been reading some old threads about like 84, 85 WWF. So I'm kind of actually looking forward to going back and throwing that in and watching it. So we'll be getting to that shortly. And WrestleMania 23, of course, is on deck next for our written reviews. So with that said, we're going to have our final segment, and it's a new segment. Now, with our NFL picks done for the year, we're going to take the suggestion of one of our great Nation members and do a Meet the Nation segment every week. We're going to have one of you on with us for the final segment of the show. We're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about, and then we're going to do a lightning round, which we thought was a pretty neat idea. We have some cool little topics to discuss. So let us see if we can do this without screwing things up. Bring in our Nation member for this week. Okay, let's see. Okay, I think we got him on the line.
Hello?
the biggest Tomahawk Chop fan in Place to Be Nation. That is Jay Hinchy. Jay, welcome to the show.
Yeah, go Braves.
Yeah, I hope
Boo.
That was... Oh, come on.
Boo. Not the Braves or Florida State.
Not a Mets suck. Who cares?
Yeah,
that is true. That is true. All right,
Jay, welcome, man. It's been a long time coming. Yes. Welcome to the show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, guys. What's going on?
Not much. We've been talking, we talked Super Bowl, we talked Raw, we did some WrestleMania Hall of Fame notes. So what we want to do with you, we want to give you about 10 minutes or so. We can talk about any topic you want to discuss, anything you want to get into. And then we're going to do a lightning round. We have like 10 or 11 things where you're just going to give us a quick answer with. So let's first start with talking about any topic. What did you feel like talking about tonight?
I don't know. That's a good question.
When did you first start getting into wrestling?
I got into wrestling about 1990, 1991. And first big in the Ultimate Warrior, you know, when he first came on, you know. And then Bret Hart, Bret Hart's my favorite wrestler of all time. So, yeah.
So what do you... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask you, where do you see... what do you think of the Hall of Fame class so far this year? Anyone you think has been snubbed, or do you like the direction they're going in?
I actually like the direction they're going in. I see the Four Horsemen going in. And same with Edge, of course. I hope Yokozuna is going to go in, too. And, of course, Ron Simmons. So I'm pretty excited about that this year, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, Simmons will probably be a big deal down there in Atlanta. Do you think – we were talking about this earlier. Do you think Rock should have went in since they're in Miami?
that I'm not sure of. I think he deserves the opportunity. I don't know who would induct him, but maybe Stone Cold or maybe Vince or somebody could throw him in there this year.
Yeah, we were just thinking since they're in Miami this year, would it be a good idea to maybe take advantage of that and put him in? But eventually, obviously, he's going to go in. So, and with having Edge as a headliner,
yeah,
I guess it doesn't make too much sense. Any match in particular you're really looking forward to at Mania this year? Do you think that they're going to do? You hope that they do, or one that even they've already announced?
Probably Rock and Cena. I think CM Punk, Chris Jericho, probably as well would be good too.
Yeah, I think the build up to that is going to be great as well. I think they're going to do a lot of good mic work.
Yeah. Looks like what they did this past Monday with Taker watching his match on, or I should say, from last year,
right.
And him saying, it's not over and I want another rematch.
So do you like that angle on it, that they're not doing it the other way as usual? They're having Taker be the one chasing this time?
Actually, I do, yeah. I mean, I think it's different because Taker is always the one, wanting to always wanting to match it up for somebody else, and now
right,
he's the
yeah.
chasing. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Mm.
What do you think of CM Punk's reign as champion so far? Because a lot of people are complaining about ratings, all that kind of crap.
Oh, I think
What do you think?
I think CM Punk's, worked his butt off to get where he is today. And I think he's earned it. I love him right now. I think he's great.
I agree. And how about one other argument we had, or not argument, but debate, I guess, we had on the page in the live chat last night was surrounding Daniel Bryan. And, there was a subset of us that thought he's being pushed well, and others thought he's being wasted in this role, being booked as a chicken shit. Do you see this as a good role for him, or do you think you wish maybe he was being booked stronger than he is?
Maybe a little stronger right now. I mean, kind of fine with him. With him trying to avoid the Big Show and everything, and he, of course, protecting AJ, as he says.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think he's done pretty well so far, too.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this earlier, but I think he's exceeding by quite a bit what anyone really could have realistically thought they were going to do with him in the WWE. Well,
definitely. I think when he won Money in the Bank, nobody expected him to do it.
Right. And even when he did, a lot of people thought he was going to be the first one to fail at it.
Yeah, I remember reading that too. People were like, "Oh yeah, he's going to lose and all this and that." I'm like, "No, he's not."
Yeah, it's almost like they wanted him to just so they could be right. Sometimes you get people.
I gotta love the IWC, don't you?
Yeah.
There's a good portion, but yeah, there is an ugly, ugly portion out there as well. All right, Jay, you ready for some lightning round action?
Yep, I'll try my best.
Okay. All right. Scott, why don't you start us off?
Okay. Yep, Jay, it's just quick, one answer if you want a little explanation, but just nice and easy. All right. Okay. Your favorite wrestler.
Bret Hart.
All right. Okay. The first live show you ever attended.
It was the 2002 Royal Rumble.
Oh, that'll excite Scott quite a bit.
Yeah.
Sorry, greatest Scott.
Greatest of all time.
Yeah, sorry, Scott.
first pay-per-view you ever watched?
Royal Rumble 1994.
Oh, now I'm excited.
Yeah, wow. There you go.
You're in. You've already won this. We can't have anybody else on after this. You've already surpassed our expectations.
Sweet, I love it.
What was your favorite WrestleMania of all time?
Oh, wow. Probably most would say 17. I probably have to go maybe 22.
Oh, that's an interesting choice. You don't hear that too much, but I think it's an underrated WrestleMania.
We both do.
Yeah, the crowd is great, and it has some really good matches. What was your favorite match on the show?
Probably John Cena, Triple H.
Yeah, I mean, just the crowd heat alone, along with the work they put in. And then, of course, you even added Edge Foley on that show as well. So.
All right, your favorite SummerSlam?
SummerSlam, 1991.
Good choice again. You're killing these answers, Jay Hinchy.
you're the man so far. No one can stop you here.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Come on, Scott. Again, he can't get the whole episode without stepping all over me. Favorite Royal Rumble, Jay?
Favorite Royal Rumble, probably the one I was at in 2002.
Okay. Right. Well, we were going back and forth, and then you did two in a row, so I thought you had some kind of process going on here. All right.
No, you said SummerSlam, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
No, I meant Scott did.
No, you did. You did first pay-per-view and then favorite WrestleMania in a row.
Yeah. Okay.
Favorite wrestling guilty pleasure?
Can you give me probably a clue on that one?
Just like something that maybe get shit on by the public, or that's kind of embarrassing gimmick that you really liked. Like for me, like I loved like the Mountie and stuff like that. I don't know, just like a goofy gimmick or a goofy storyline that you dug, even though it probably wasn't that good, or it's kind of embarrassing to admit that you liked it.
Okay. Good question. I don't think I really have one right now. I didn't think about that one.
Okay. I'll think about it and maybe post it on the page or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Your favorite wrestling hottie of all time?
Oh, boy. Probably Trish.
Yeah, it's a tough one to top. There's a few up there in the elite class.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
We'll be seeing that. Have you been voting in the tournament?
No, I haven't. I probably should, though.
Yeah, let's go, Mr. Hinchy. Get on that. Now you're losing points. You gained a lot of points with these answers, and now you're losing points.
Okay, I'm sorry, Justin.
don't let him chide you like that.
Oh, shut up, Scott. All right, I'm gonna be like Matt Davis and tell you I'm gonna be a heel and then be a heel. So how did you find the Place to Be podcast, Jay?
I think I found it through the history of WWE.com.
Yeah, we owe a lot to Mr. Graham Cawthon. So.
Yes, Graham is the man.
Yes.
Of course, you told him that he needs to fill those unknown wrestler spots in his house show results.
He does.
Yeah, he does.
He's a perfectionist and he has blank spots all over the place. What's he doing?
Yeah, he kind of does.
All right, Jay. If you could meet a former, we'll give you two of them. A former and a current. First of all, if you could meet a former WWE superstar, who would it be? And then if you could meet a current WWE superstar,
and
who would it
be? We don't have to say former WWE. It could be former any former promotion, anybody, and then current WWE.
Okay, former either Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart, of course, and then current. Oh boy, that's a good one. Maybe John Cena.
You know, it'd be great, Jay, if you met Shawn and Bret together at the same time in 1997.
Yes, that would be good. Yeah,
you might not be walking today.
Yeah. Probably not. Yeah.
All right. What was your greatest moment that you witnessed, be it live or on TV or just anywhere, of your favorite sports team, and what was your worst moment as a sports fan?
Well, probably when the Braves won the World Series. And then when they lost the next year to the Yankees.
Yeah, that was my favorite sports moment.
Yeah, well.
Who's your favorite Brave of all time, on a side note?
Probably Steve Avery.
Hmm. Really?
Interesting choice.
Yeah.
Okay. Not Chipper?
No, I like Steve Avery the best.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And if there was a – last one. If there was a topic that you would like my PIC and I to talk about in an entire podcast, doesn't matter what it is, wrestling, okay, sports, anything. If you wanted him and I to cover an entire podcast on one thing, what would it be?
Maybe the downfall of WCW.
Okay, that's an interesting topic. Mm. That could be a good one to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm actually going to add one more question on here, Jay. If we could get anyone for an interview, who would it be?
From anything?
Yeah. I mean, realistically, you know, and obviously we're we're not going to get like Jerry Seinfeld or anything.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Someone within our realm.
Your realm. Okay. Think about that one too. I don't know.
Okay. All right, Jay. All right. So is there anything else you want to discuss or any shout outs or mentions you want to get before we wrap up?
No, just glad to be on the show, and you guys do a great job, and keep it up.
Cool. And we appreciate you listening and all your comments and feedback, of course, Mr. Hinch. You've been with us a long time, part of the Place to Be Nation, yes, one of the charter members.
You are welcome, Justin.
All Jay, right. You're the best. Thank you. Excellent job.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks for coming on, Jay. If you don't mind disconnecting on your end, that will help us out here.
Let me find it here. Okay. All right. See you later.
All right, Jay. Take care.
Take it easy. Thanks,
right,
Jay.
Bye.
All right, Jay Hinchey, ladies and gentlemen. Our first successful Meet the Nation segment there. I enjoyed that. That was cool.
He gets a 90.
Yeah. So why? Because he didn't.
Because he enjoyed the Braves winning in 1995. Yes, okay.
So a great job by Mr. Hinchey there. We appreciate you coming on. And we will be doing this weekly. If you want in on it, just send us a message. We'll bring you on. We're going to try and get a couple of the guys that didn't make the 100th episode first, just to give them a shot. And then we'll start cycling through other guys as well. So we'll look
Downfall
forward to this every
WCW.
Week.
Wow. That's
that could be fun. Yeah.
We have to get Grandma for that one. He might have to help us out with that one.
Now, you have all heard the lightning round, so you're pretty much going to get the same questions. You may get a couple other ones we come up with along the way. So have a topic you want to talk about, and then have an idea for those questions as well once you come on.
Right.
So with that said, we're going to go ahead and start wrapping things up, Mr. Crispolo, and another good week. And I think you can expect these headline shows to probably be a little more streamlined, a little shorter, without all the NFL stuff mixed in as well. So that might be good for us as well. kill some of the
that's
burnout.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. Middle of the week stuff.
All right, so going forward, here's where we're at, of course. My daughter is due in the next week or so.
Right.
So at this point, we're day-to-day. As of right now, we're planning on recording In Your House 3 this Friday night. Tomorrow, I'll have the thread up for your feedback. We're also going to talk about, obviously, all the things that go around in the world of wrestling along with that time period as well. So it should be an interesting podcast.
Yep.
That'll be up this weekend. And then next week, we're planning on doing headlines and In Your House 4. But obviously, things are going to happen. So our plan right now is to try and mix things up. Maybe Scott might do a headlines without me. And then that might be the only show for the next couple weeks. And then we'll get back into the vaults once I'm back in the swing of things. But we'll have to play things by ear. We appreciate you hanging in there with us as we go through these changes over the next couple weeks. I guess that's it. So vote in the tournament, bigelow34.proboards.com. Visit us on Facebook at the Place to Be Podcast, on Twitter at Place Number 2B Podcast. Hit up Graham Cawthon at thehistoryofwwe.com. Follow him on Twitter. I think that's it. That's all our plugs. So, Scott, you got anything before we wrap up?
Vote for Laura Prepon.
Now. You cannot vote against Lacey Jabert.
Vote for Nicole Eggert to upset Christine Applegate.
Oh, you're fucking whacked. All right, let's go. Thank you for listening. As always, thank you, Jay Hinchey and Andrew Flanagan, for appearing on tonight's show. We had a good time at chatting Super Bowl wrestling and all the other accoutrement that came along with it. So, for Scotty C., I am Justin Rosero. We will talk to you later this week from Saginaw, Michigan.
Peace.